are they?
Morgan?
Hello?
Where's Morgan? This is not even. Morgan, what's happening?
Dogs are barking. Woke us up.
Are you hurt?
I think God did it.
Did what, Morgan?
So I don't remember how many years ago, about 4 years ago, during the series, Annika and I team teach on a, I think it was Inside Out?
Finding Dory,
that's what it was. Yeah, and basically Annika wanted to help me. She was the one that thought of all the stuff for the movie, and then I'm like, okay. And then I wrote out a script and made her do this with me. So today, Annika's just going to fly solo. And as a dad, I'm super excited, super proud. And I want you guys to know, like, if you're like, well, this is just weird, it's the pastor's daughter. No, like, we want to encourage everybody in their gifting, everybody in their passion, everybody that's seeking to follow Christ. Annika's not looking to be a preacher, but I got to tell you, when she was just a couple years old, I remember being a youth pastor and standing up in front of a big group of students with a microphone in my hand, and all of a sudden, this little kid got away from her mom and came cruising up to the stage, and she picked up a microphone, and she wanted to just start preaching. She didn't even know what she was saying. And so you might, every once in a while in the message today, you might think she's still right there. But I think for the most part, I'm just excited that she's going to share what God's put on her heart with this movie. This is one that she's been asking to do for a while. I'm not going to steal her thunder, but I want to pray for her as she brings God's word to us today. So will you pray with me? Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be dads and moms. And I thank you for a church family that's willing to invest in my children as they grow, as they become young adults, and in the children that we just sent out of this room into the back. And God, maybe we minister to one another. God, I just ask now that your Holy Spirit would just anoint Annika to speak your truth, that you'd give her clarity and remove any anxiousness that she might be feeling, that she might just speak the truth that she found in this word that she thinks brings glory to you. And God, may your word be glorified. May you be glorified in this place. May Jesus be exalted above every other name, we pray. In his name, amen.
Good morning. So my name is Annika. Many of you know me, some of you don't, and some of you have only heard of me but never actually met me. But I'm really happy to be here today and to be sharing my thoughts on M. Night Shyamalan's Signs. This is by far one of my all-time favorite movies, and I've been asking for somebody to talk about this one probably since our very first Summer of Faith on Film. So it's really exciting that I get to talk about it, just because I think it's a great story. I apologize that it's a little bit scary, but it's okay. It has a good ending. So when my sisters and I were growing up, we were being taught to use discernment and to speak back to cultural messages on a daily basis. I remember car rides where my dad would be skimming across different radio stations, and inevitably, one of my sisters would cry out, "Go back!" and some pop song with questionable lyrics would flood the car. And my dad would then ask us, well, what is this song about? Or more realistically, why do you guys like this trash? And my sisters would turn to me, hoping that I would step in and defend the song. So I'd say, well, it's obvious that this man has a very selfless love for this woman, and he's very passionate about that. In the everyday things, we are being taught to use discernment. So if we ever do a Faith on Film for music, like Truth in Tunes, if you will, I will be ready. But for real, using discernment isn't just for justifying the things that we want to enjoy. It's about determining whether or not something is worth watching or listening to based on what it presents as truth. So when we were growing up, my mom had this five-finger rule for us, where if there were five things against what we knew to be right in a show or movie, we would switch it off. So we'd kind of keep track on our hand like that. But for myself, I have adapted this into a three-step tactic that I will share with you so that you can discern God-honoring, truth-filled elements in what you watch the same way that I've learned to. So I actually go to college in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, the same county in which Science takes place. But I've never seen an alien. I took an apologetics class in which we were assigned the task of analyzing a pop culture movie to kind of teach us the importance of using discernment as a Christian. So we were supposed to find biblical truths in these movies, and essentially this was a Faith on Film paper. So naturally, I was very excited, but I'm a little bit of a nerd. So as we prepared to analyze our various movies, our professor told us to highlight the good, the true, and the beautiful. He explains these concepts as follows. What is good is what follows after the example set by Christ, so doing good. What is beautiful is what represents truth aesthetically, so visuals or music such as the soundtrack or the score in a movie. And what is true is actually twofold. What is true is what is in line with the Word of God in Scripture, what is backed by the Bible, and a representation of things as they actually are. So in a movie, truth could be a realistic portrayal of the real world. Okay, so let's get into it. For those of you who haven't seen the film, I wanted to give you a brief intro. The end of the world is upon ex-Reverend Graham Hess and his family. In the farming community of Bucks County, Pennsylvania, a father, his brother, and his two young children begin to witness unusual happenings. Shortly after discovering crop circles in their backyard cornfield, the family is suddenly swept up in a worldwide fascination with all things extraterrestrial. An ardent skeptic, Graham is slow to believe the credibility of this alien threat. But cleverly juxtaposed flashbacks reveal that Graham's wife was killed in a severe car accident prior to the exposition of this movie. This event shook Graham's faith and resulted in him resigning from his role of leader of the church and abandoning his religion altogether. To Graham's chagrin, the town has yet to fully come to terms with this fact, as many characters repeatedly refer to him as father. Those of you who watch movies closely may have noticed the empty space on the wall where a cross used to hang. This serves as a visual reminder that Graham's faith is something of the past. In his own home, Graham is forced to confront challenges from his son Morgan, who adamantly argues that the signs must be taken seriously. This rocky father-son relationship parallels Graham's own disconnect from God. Eventually, after several close encounters with the aliens, Graham accepts reality and swiftly acts in the best interest of his family. As we watch the following clips, I think it's important to note that this isn't a story about a non-believer coming to faith. This is the testimony of a man who, like us, has a relationship with the Father. And even though he wrestles with God and wavers in his faith, Graham finds that God has not let go of him. So right from the start, we see a typical family in a normal setting. This is an example of something that is good. Graham is portrayed as a gentle, patient, and loving father who is hesitant to believe in an extraterrestrial threat. Merrill, his brother, has stepped in to help Graham bring up his children in light of his wife's recent passing. Morgan and Beau are independent but sensitive and respectful children, and this is a pretty realistic depiction of a family. It's something that we think is pretty true to life. And this family, like most of ours, has moments of both unity and disunity. Let's watch as our family is given a second sign.
What is it?
It was a baby monitor.
I found it in the basement. I'm going to use it as a walkie-talkie. What if it's catching a signal from them?
It's not.
But it wasn't working.
Morgan, This crop stuff is about a bunch of nerds who never had a girlfriend in their lives. They're like 30 and they work up little codes together and they analyze Greek mythology, make up secret societies where other guys who never had girlfriends before can join in. They do stupid crap like this to feel special. It's a scam. Nerds were doing it 25 years ago, new nerds are doing it again.
It's just static, Morgan. Turn it up, see?
It's a code.
Why can't I get girlfriends?
Can I see that, please?
What's noise?
It's broken, Morgan. It's just gonna keep doing this. Maybe some new batteries.
We might lose the signal.
This is exactly what the nerds want.
I'm getting out now.
Nobody move! Voices. Did you hear that? Not English, though. You heard the voices, right, Uncle Merrill?
I heard them, Morgan.
Probably picking up another baby monitor.
That's right.
See, this is why we're not watching TV. People get obsessed. I'm letting go now.
No, Dad!
Don't do it!
You'll lose the signal.
Don't let go. It gets clearer the higher you hold it.
I got it.
Well, honey, I don't want you climbing on the car.
So I think it's significant to note that this family discovers truth when they are connected to one another, sometimes physically. In a particularly powerful image, the camera captures Morgan standing on top of the car with the baby monitor firmly clasped in his hand, held tightly by his uncle and followed by his father and his sister, all forming a supportive chain behind him. So this is an example of how the director communicated truth in a beautiful or an aesthetic way. Similarly, this movie is full of aesthetic cinematography. Throughout the film, the audience members are frustrated when what they want to see is the only angle excluded from the shot. Like Graham, they are unable to see the full picture of the narrative. The director places the camera at extreme angles to raise the interest in the seemingly insignificant details that prove themselves relevant in the last moments of the movie. In much the same way, Graham is very discerning in his parenthood, choosing what is necessary to reveal and to conceal to his children. He says, "This is why we're not watching TV. People get obsessed." And earlier, before the scene, he says, "No radio either, just for a while." This, paired with the cinematography, parallels the idea that God reveals things in his time for the good of his children. As our story continues, the signs become too numerous to ignore, and with unidentified spacecraft hovering in the night sky, Merrill and Graham have a serious discussion about faith. Miracles or coincidences?
Some people are probably thinking this is the end of the world.
That's true.
Do you think it could be?
Yes.
can you say that?
That wasn't the answer you wanted.
Can you pretend to be like you used to be? Give me some comfort.
Experience something lucky. Group number one sees it as more than luck, more than coincidence. They see it as a sign, evidence that there is someone up there watching out for them. Group number two sees it as just pure luck, happy turn of chance. I'm sure the people in group number two are looking at those 14 lights in a very suspicious way. For them, this situation is a 50-50. Could be bad. Could be good. But deep down, they feel that whatever happens, they're on their own. And that fills them with fear. Yeah, there are those people. But there's a whole lot of people in the group number one. They see those 14 lights. They're looking at a miracle. And deep down, they feel that whatever's going to happen, there'll be someone there to help them. And that fills them with hope. See, what you have to ask yourself is, what kind of person are you? Are you the kind that sees signs, sees miracles? Or do you believe that people just get lucky? Or look at the question this way. Is it possible that there are no coincidences?
So which type are you?
Do you feel comforted?
Yeah, I do.
Does it matter? I never told you the last words that Colleen said before they let her die. She said, "See." And her eyes glazed a bit. And then she said, "Swing away." Why she said that? Because the nerve endings in her brain were firing as she died, and some random memory of us at one of your baseball games just popped into her head. There is no one watching out for us, Meryl.
Without a doubt, faith is the central theme in Signs. When every seemingly disconnected piece of the puzzle reveals itself in turn, it becomes undeniably evident that God has a plan. In this scene, Graham poses the question, is it possible that there are no coincidences? The events in this movie serve to provide him with the answer. Life is by design. Beau's water glasses, Morgan's asthma, Meryl's baseball bat, and even Colleen's dying words all constitute interwoven, irreplaceable elements of this intentional story. God's greater purpose in bringing all these details together is clearly revealed in the closing scene when Graham has returned to his role as reverend. But a lot has to take place before we get there. Despite his lapse in personal belief, Graham manages to convey a true picture of faith to Meryl in this scene. He explains that people of faith are those who hold to the notion that no matter what happens, there will be someone there to help them. There is hope. Faith is what reminds people that they are not alone and connects what they perceive as coincidences together within a perfect plan. With the alien threat looming more ominously each hour, Graham is forced to provide his family with a decision. Should they flee to the lake or board up their windows and take shelter at home?
In one image, we see that Graham is in front of the railing, and Meryl, Beau, and Morgan are framed behind him. Here, they are in disagreement. But in the next frame, Graham has rejoined them, both physically and thematically. After deciding that they will remain in their home to face the danger as a unified team, the four of them are framed together artistically through the pane of their living room window. Here we see the unity of the Hess family. And we understand that regardless of their decisions, they will stand a better chance as a team. This is something good depicted in a beautiful way. The truth is that families are stronger when they are unified. The audience sees Graham offering emotional support and his comfort and comfort to his family on multiple occasions. He addresses faith with Meryl, he discusses grief with Beau, and later he cradles Morgan as he works through an asthma attack. Throughout the film, it is apparent to even the most critical viewer that Graham is always doing what he believes is right for his family, protecting them and providing for them in every way that he can. However, even the most well-meaning fathers are flawed and crack under pressure, especially in trying circumstances. In what is, in my opinion, one of the most moving, true-to-life scenes, Graham has reached his breaking point. Let's see what happens.
What's the matter with everyone? Eat.
Maybe we should say a prayer.
No.
Why not?
We're not saying a prayer.
Bo has a bad feeling.
I had a dream.
We aren't saying a prayer. Eat.
I hate you.
That's fine.
You let Mom die.
Morgan. I'm not wasting one more minute of my life on prayer. Not one more minute. Understood? Now, we are going to enjoy this meal. No one can stop us from enjoying this meal, so enjoy it! Stop crying!
Graham.
Don't yell at her!
All right. Since you're all not gonna eat, I'm gonna try some of everything.
The pain and suffering that Graham has faced in his life has caused him to question God and doubt his faith. For many of us, this concept is familiar. We've probably seen people in our own lives struggle in this same way. But the truth is that the truth we need to realize, even in the midst of our suffering, is this: you cannot let your faith hinge on your life experiences. You cannot let your faith hinge on your life experiences. And God tells us why in his words. Paul says in Romans 8, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us, revealed to us." Verse 28, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." And Jesus says in John 16:33, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." God is using Graham's suffering. He's using Graham's suffering to call him back into a deeper relationship with him. In this same way, our faith is made stronger when it is tested, when it can withstand the trials of this life. I wanted to talk about the truth in this image for a moment. Like any good father, Graham's focus is on keeping his family together. After losing his wife, it's clear that he could not bear separation from another member. This desire is heightened by his fear, which is a side effect of his disbelief. This movie supplies a realistic portrayal of family relationships, both the unity and the strife. So that's an example of something that's true to life. This father and son scene is followed up by another, Graham and his heavenly father. Let's watch the next scene, and then I'll draw some connections.
We don't have his medicine. Don't be afraid, Morgan. We'll slow this down together. Feel my chest. Feel it moving in and out. Breathe like me. Breathe like me.
Can you dream this?
Stay with me. I know it hurts. Be strong, baby. It'll pass. Don't be afraid, Morgan. Feel my chest. Breathe with me. Together. The air is going in our lungs. Together. We're the same. We're the same.
You didn't think we'd make it through the night, did you? Listen, there's things I can take, and a couple things I can't. One of them I can't take is when my older brother, who's everything I want to be, starts losing faith in things. I saw your eyes last night. I don't want to ever see your eyes like that again. Okay? I'm serious. Okay.
That scene is one of my favorites in the whole movie. I would argue that it's the most important scene. But Graham's coaching of Morgan as he struggles to regain a normal breathing pattern reveals the truth that faith leads to hope. He repeats, "Believe it's going to pass. Don't be afraid. This will pass." When someone takes God at his word and trusts him to be who he says he is, faith is accomplished and hope is the reward. When someone takes God at his word and trusts him to be who he says he is, faith is accomplished and hope is the reward. As Graham tells Morgan to believe, the camera pans to Meryl and Beau, who watch intently. And I love this because Meryl is hanging on Graham's every words, even repeating them to himself. The director's artistic choice here reveals the truth that strong leaders lead their family in faith. They set the example. But faithful unity in a family goes both ways. Think back to when Morgan suggested the family pray at dinner. The faithful son understands that reliance on God is necessary. And he steps in to remind his father of this when he has stumbled. After the events of the invasion, Meryl confronts his brother in the same way, spurring him back to faithfulness. He tells him,
He tells his older brother that he cannot take him losing his faith, especially when so many people are looking to him to be a leader. There is a strong sense of duty that develops in each of the characters as the plot plays out. The film communicates the idea, the true idea, that one must act as they are called, even when the odds are against them. It is this it-felt-wrong-not-to-swing mindset that costs Merrill his baseball career, but ultimately enables him to save his loved ones. The best thing about Signs is that it realistically portrays a man at odds with God. Even amidst Graham's pain and desperation, he comes to acknowledge God's power and authority in his life. Often, people must be brought to their breaking points before they can humbly admit their need for their Heavenly Father. And this is the case with our protagonist here. "I hate you," Graham cries angrily to God, echoing the words his son addressed to him moments earlier at the dinner table. This parallel reveals that a full understanding of how a father is working for their child's good cannot always be seen from a limited perspective. We cannot always see the full picture as God's children. Just seconds after Morgan is outraged by what he views as his father's failings, he embraces him in a long and meaningful hug. This is because when there's nothing else to do and nowhere else to turn, Morgan is putting all of his faith and his hope in his father to love and protect him. He believes that he will be safe in his father's arms. Graham falls down before God symbolically in this same way, as he waits patiently for his heavenly father to deliver Morgan through his ailments. Genuine gospel truth is woven throughout the complex inner workings of this suspenseful plot. Graham and his family are constantly learning that they are not alone. Their newfound faith connects them to their heavenly father, who loves them and is working all things out for their good. Believers can also find that faith leads to hope. In trusting that God has a plan and a purpose for each life, true peace can be achieved. While man cannot always identify how God is working behind the scenes on his behalf, he is surrounded by evidence of a God who is living, active, and present in the world. This is why we read in Romans, "Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope." All things natural and supernatural, extraterrestrial even, point people upwards towards the all-powerful God who authored every element of creation. Graham experiences redemption in his final reconnection with God. His faith has been restored, and he is spurred on to be a witness for the theological truths and miracles that he has witnessed in his own life. The message of the story states that there is a God who works all things out within the context of his perfect plan. And while individuals can never completely grasp the fullness of God's vision, they can put their faith in him, trusting that he will protect and provide for them like the perfect father that he is. As I was putting this message together yesterday, I was struck again by the way that Graham is able to see evidence of the miraculous in the everyday. Even as the enemy is attempting to destroy Graham and his family, he finds ways to encourage his children. In these fearful moments leading up to the climax, he revisits the most miraculous moments of his own life, including the births of his two children and his wife's final words. Graham has learned to see God's fingerprints in his life where he couldn't see them before. This final series of events ends with Graham fervently crying out to the God he walked away from. Let's watch our final clip.
That's why I had asthma. It can't be luck. His lungs were closed. His lungs were closed. No poison got in. No poison got in. His lungs were closed. His lungs were closed. Don't touch him. Give him a minute. Give him a second.
Daddy?
Don't touch him.
Graham.
So for context, for those of you who haven't seen the clip, right before that final scene, the enemy, the extraterrestrial, has attempted to poison Morgan in the midst of his asthma attack. And so to the end, it appears to Graham that that was all part of God's plan. His lungs were closed, so he was unaffected by the poison. So Graham reveals his newfound faith in response to Morgan's question. What happened? Did someone save me? Through tears, Graham manages to respond, "Yeah, baby, I think someone did." Even before Morgan has recovered, Graham's faith has already moved into action. He repeats, "His lungs were closed," hinting that he believes God may have stopped Morgan's breathing to prevent him from being poisoned. Faith precedes an understanding of the way that God is working. That means that faith comes first. Because faith came first for Graham, he could identify the work of God. Romans 8:35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our God is sovereign, and he is working all things out for the good of his children in his perfect time. And as his children, we can put our faith in our Heavenly Father. We can believe that he is with us even when he has yet to reveal the full picture. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to talk about this movie. I pray that as we go throughout our lives, you would remind us that you are our Father, God. And even when we come across challenges and trials, we would remember that you're holding on to us and that we can put our faith in you. Because even though we don't really understand what's going on or what you're doing, you are our Father and you're working things out for our good in accordance with your plan, God. And we know that you love us. Thank you for loving us, God.